Hi, and welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast, where we talk about all things flute and answer your questions live on YouTube. If you want to help us out, be sure to subscribe to our channel and add us to your podcast feed over on iTunes or Google Play. And if you want to represent TFC, head over to our merch store for t-shirts, stickers, mugs, and posters. You can go to designbyhumans.com/shop/theflutechannel. Proud to announce that we're working with Sheet Music Plus, home of the world's largest sheet music selection, and is a proud sponsor of the Flute Channel. Listeners will receive 15% off their order with the coupon code TFC15. So be sure to go and check out Sheet Music Plus for all your sheet music needs. And the coupon is good until July 31st, 2018. Finally, if you're looking into buying a new flute, be sure to check out the Flute Center of New York at flutesforsale.com. With our code TFC at checkout, you'll be able to try 3 flutes or piccolos for 10 days, and whichever instrument you choose, you get an extended 18-month warranty on it. So be sure at checkout to put in the special code TFC at flutesforsale.com. Now on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome to Flute Talk Podcast. I'm Nick.
And I'm Emily.
How's it going, Emily?
Good.
Good. A couple little things, but we're up and ready and ready to go. Today we're going to talk a little bit about can you learn flute by yourself and some tips about learning by yourself and then eventual, you know, getting to a teacher. But we'll answer some questions along the way. We got a bunch of questions here. If you have any problems hearing us or anything, let us know. If you can't see us, refresh your page. So yeah, we got a lot of questions already. Let's start from the beginning. How do you clean your flute? We made a couple videos about how to clean your flute. We have like 2 or 3. I think there's even a playlist about it, about how to clean a flute. You should never wash your flute or anything like that. Like, wash it with your hand. Don't put it in a bath or anything like that.
No, because the
technicians do that.
Pads are going to
just go to crap.
It's going to cost you a lot of money.
Right, and it's going
to
cost a lot more, yeah.
No, you just take a rag that's very soft and
wrap it around a wooden stick. Yeah. You shouldn't use a tarnished cloth either, because it removes metal a little bit. So like microfiber cloth is usually good. That's absorbent.
For the inside, like, you can use cheese cotton.
Cheesecloth. Yeah.
Cheesecloth.
Or Egyptian cotton.
What I use is very very old
pillowcases.
Pillowcases.
Yeah, that's usually Egyptian
Once
cotton.
The one I have, it's Egyptian cotton, and once they start ripping in parts, you know, and having holes, that's like, it's super soft because it's been washed and washed and washed.
That's it.
I use that. But the outside, sometimes people think, oh, it has to be sparkling, you know, from the outside. But really, as you say, using those cloths for the outside, they tend to remove metal and it's unnecessary. It doesn't affect the sound.
Yeah.
To have a shiny flute or not.
Exactly. The Emotional Obus wants to know, this isn't a flute question, but I'm starting piccolo for marching band next year. Is there anything you do to get high notes out, like high G, aside from aperture change or embouchure change, yeah?
Airspeed.
Airspeed's a big deal in piccolo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you've put too much volume, it's kind of uncontrollable a bit if you don't put enough speed. Like, you can make the embouchure big and then like air, but it could also be slow air, because I think you have to really hit some high, you have to really make the air speed fast, I think.
Yeah, you want to play higher notes, you increase the air speed.
Yeah, that's it.
And you wouldn't open the aperture, you would close it, I think, but I wouldn't think about it too much.
Yeah, piccolo has a lot to do with air speed, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's why it's so good for the sound.
Because
when I play piccolo, then when I take my flute, I usually sound better.
Yeah, if you go back and forth.
Because it's like everything concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
The same flute technique, but concentrated.
That's it. So hopefully that helps. Hi, TFC. I took your advice on harmonics and support the other day, and I'm starting to observe much more. Just wondering, I've seen some sites suggesting that the back of the tongue should touch the molars of the roof of the mouth, as if saying key when articulating. It seems to produce more precise sound, but I wonder whether it's actually a positive or negative strain on sound. That's really intense thinking about it. I don't know.
The molars, like the back teeth?
Yeah, like the molars, I guess.
Hmm.
The molars of the roof of the mouth. So I guess like on the tip of
the... But the molars are back.
Molars, but I think it means that. Or maybe just like the top of the mouth. Like where the teeth and the things touch, maybe.
I was taught to put my tongue in the bottom of my mouth to have mm-hmm. more space for resonance and... Sorry,
our dog is... scratching herself.
Scratching herself.
Okay.
You're a beauty.
Leaving space for what? Like the...
resonance and airstream, so it doesn't mm-hmm. bother the airstream.
Right.
So I was taught to put my tongue down, you know? Mm-hmm. But I guess I move it around when I change the vowels. If I go ah, o, u, e, you know, your mm-hmm. tongue moves a little bit. I never thought of that specific right. thing of putting my tongue, the sides of my tongue touching the molars. That's what I understand mm-hmm. from the comment.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I never tried that.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about that. No one ever told me that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I could try it and see if it helps.
Yeah. Freaky Muncher he says he's been, or he or she's been playing for flute for 2 years and trying to get some help. Depends, yeah, what would be some general things for people who are just like, you know, learning from music they find online anywhere, you know, Flute Tunes and IMSOP, or maybe they found something like, or, you know, when people learn from recordings. What are some general...
But help for what?
Help for probably, you know, learning on their own, you know.
For organizing their practice?
Organizing their practice would probably be one tip for sure, to kind of, like, get people going. That's one thing a lot of people who learn on their own never get to manage, you know, because a teacher usually sets that up for you.
Yeah, a teacher usually organizes you and organizes mm-hmm. your practice and makes everything move forward. Yeah, makes everything move forward in a, like, step by step, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why the books we're writing them in that fashion. With everything moving up together.
Yeah.
I would say try to do a little bit of everything, a little bit of sound, a little bit
What entitles everything, though? You know, like, in one page, let's say, well, you know, there's... Learning the scale, learning...
I would say sound exercises.
Sound exercises,
I would start with, let's say, just playing every note,
mm-hmm.
all the notes.
Right.
Slowly, like slurred, and listening to your sound and trying to make it sound as, like, make the sound as beautiful as you can. Like, maybe, depends on your level. Mm-hmm. I would start with just a good mezzo forte sound. Comfortable dynamic range, and then with time maybe I would do forte and piano
mm-hmm.
to work on dynamics
mm-hmm.
when your sound is good enough, you know, when mm-hmm. your mezzo forte quality of sound is good, then you can add that
mm-hmm.
then scale. I usually add scales slowly, like I start with major scales up to 3 sharps and 3 flats, just uh-huh. 1 octave first,
right.
and arpeggios, and then I add another, and then I go all the way up to the high G, and then I go all the way up to the high, like, I have increments that I go
right.
with my students until they know all their, sorry, it's like having a baby.
Yeah, yeah, having a little doggy.
Until they know all their scales and arpeggios and major and minor, and then
mm-hmm.
maybe I'll do some tafanel gobert, you know, some technique exercises
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of articulation, single, double, depends.
Single,
where you
double,
are.
What? Double tonguing? Single tonguing and double tonguing. Yeah.
Yeah, so that when you start having it in pieces,
yeah.
it's easier. Also, sometimes in scales, I would put some different
mm-hmm.
articulations, so you work on them, and then when you see them in music, you're used to them.
Yeah, and find some example of all those things, because when we say those things, also a lot of people might not know what those things are. You should definitely check on our channel and find things about
studies,
reference examples.
Studies are a good thing, doing a study every week.
And recording yourself when you do it, so you can hear that things are steady.
If you're learning by yourself, recording yourself is a great thing.
Because,
using a
metronome.
A metronome, a mirror, and a recorder.
can get you pretty far.
Can get you far, yeah. I think.
I think so too.
Because you can look at your posture, mm-hmm. at your embouchure. You can look at a lot of different things. And yeah, the metronome, if you know how to use it, it can be very efficient and very mm-hmm. helpful. And a recorder, like, yeah, not a recorder like the flute recorder, the, mm-hmm. like recording yourself and listening to yourself. You can be a good teacher for yourself.
Totally.
You're your first teacher. Because even when you have lessons, it's once a week usually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rest of the time, you don't have your coach with you. Like people in sports have their coach every mm-hmm. day. We have to be our own coaches when we learn music. Mm-hmm. That's an extra, extra difficulty, I guess. Or mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully, yeah, well, if you have any questions about that, about how to self-teach or how to learn on your own, let us know and we'll answer those questions.
And then repertoire, finding pieces you love and mm-hmm. playing them.
Totally. Luigi Juarez wants to know a question about our own flutes. If we happen to play on a gold or silver riser inside the head joint, Luigi's planning to trial different silver head joints, but with different risers like metal, different riser metal like gold and platinum. I'm just curious, what do we play on? I play on I play on silver and silver. Like it's all solid.
Yeah,
it's all silver.
Too.
Yeah.
All silver.
It all depends, you know. Gold cuts differently, grooves differently when they do it. It also reacts a little differently. Platinum too reacts a little differently. It's a different way of cutting and putting it on there.
The video of trying different flutes,
right?
Like expensive flutes.
Yeah.
The Auramite one I thought sounded good for me.
Mm-hmm. Auramite's made completely different than a regular silver flute, though. The way it's cut, everything's done a bit differently, okay. So things react differently. But I would like to do a whole video about can you hear the difference between head joints? And we try, you know,
different
20 different joints, yeah, with the same flute.
Yeah.
Yeah, because really it's just about trying to feel what's inside the head joint. So we'll hopefully have that maybe in the summertime, hopefully, when we have some time doing that. But if you want to help us out, go to our Patreon and we'll be able to get those types of videos done quicker. So hopefully that answers your question. You should try all of them out. Why not? You never know which one will appeal you to the most. And make sure you always try things that are within your budget. Don't get pressured to get something that is not in your budget. Can't stress that enough.
And there's a lot of choice.
Yeah,
there's
so much choices.
There's a lot of quality,
yeah.
For okay price.
Yep, there's a lot.
Like flutes are not as cheap as guitars or other instruments, but you can still find good deals and, yeah.
Totally.
It's also not as expensive as some other instruments.
Yeah. What else do we got here? Ooh, a lot of people from everywhere.
That's so cool. Hi, everyone.
Yeah. It's 1 a.m. in the United Kingdom. Hey, Sigurd. My God, my phone's about to die. Wow, a lot of people from everywhere. Okay, I'm just trying to catch up onto the chat here. Oh, oh my gosh, so many more people just suddenly, that's like crazy.
Yeah, it moved the
moved
whole
really
comment.
Fast. Hold on. Oh my. Yeah, it just started loading. Oh my gosh, so many. Wait. That's what happens when we start from... Oh, it's right here. Okay. So, what do you recommend for... Or Tara Torres wants to know, what do you recommend for repertoire for flute students after concert and contest collections? You know, the Red Book, middle school kids. I'm not sure of the Red Book. The Red Book, maybe it's one of the Louise Moyes books or something like that.
Yeah, it might be.
The
Red and
Concert.
White?
Oh, yeah, Red and White one. It is that one. Concerts, yeah. And Contests. We have that book. It's somewhere. That's not by Moyes. It's by somebody else, I think. But yeah, I know that book. Oh, what are good things after that? Wow, that's a good book.
Well, I guess the Donald Peck one would be a bit after that.
Yeah,
there's
Donald Peck made one. That's really okay. That's just about after that.
And
then the Blue Book by Moïse is good. Like, the French composer book, some of those pieces are approachable. Like, Chaminade can be approachable for some kids,
yeah.
You know.
But,
I guess can't find anything in between. What are some in-between
tough,
books?
It's the in-between repertoire.
Yeah.
Like,
you have to kind of
go
them.
From one level to another.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with maybe some Baroque concertos.
A lot of people go with Baroque concertos a lot, yeah.
Is it Vivaldi?
Maybe. That's a Vivaldi, yeah.
You have big, big traits of 16th notes, you know.
Yeah.
All those baroque concertos, Blavé,
There's Telemann concerto, Stamitz concerto. Stamitz is like a good one. In G major, Stamitz in G major.
Before you do Chaminade, I guess you should start with those ones.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. There's some early C.P.E. Bach fast. Too. C.P.E. Bach sonata. Yeah. That's a thing a lot of people learn right away.
And then
there's Ernest Bloch. Bloch is a good sweet modal. That's more modern. That's for beginners, the first couple movements.
You also have a couple of solo flutes.
Not beginners, but I mean people who are getting
like,
better.
Like La Danse de la Chèvre. Danse de la Chèvre,
yeah.
You also have Syrinx by Debussy. It's it's approachable.
Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot of them. Hopefully that can start you off, you know.
Yeah.
You can also go on sheetmusicplus.com, and I think they go by grade level, and you can definitely look there. You can check out our link in the description. You can actually help us out by going there. And they have a lot. They have the largest collection of sheet music in the world. So, yeah, you can use our code TFC15. We just got that last 2 days ago. So
yeah, and that's helpful for us.
That's helpful for us. So, yeah, you just check out the description.
It's a win-win. Like,
it's a win-win for everyone, you know. Yeah. Everyone, you guys help us and you guys get music.
If you use it, you get some...
You get 15% off your sale, off the whole entire price of what you buy.
Yeah, and we get something too.
Yeah, we get something out of that. We get a commission out of that, and you guys save 15% off. So and it goes until July 31st, I think.
So if you need music,
It's that I know it's now the end of the season, so a lot of people want to get some music for next year and kind of get things going. Mm-hmm. So they've got everything there.
Yeah, but there's a lot of nice baroque concertos and. Yeah. Classical, even like De Vienne. Number five is beautiful.
There's a lot of good repertoire. Depends where you're based in, but like here in Canada, there's the Royal Conservatory, and they on their website there is a list that you can get as a PDF of every grade level. So I would say I would say after the Red Book, that's like between grade. You know, 2, 4, and 6, you know.
My personal experience is that you can't follow those grades with everyone. Some students will take more time to be on one grade, and some students might be very, very, respond very well to big challenges.
Yeah.
And if they love the piece, they might be able to skip a few grades just by...
Totally.
You know, loving the challenge. Mm-hmm. You have to...
I would use it as reference material only, you know, just to look for it.
Get to know your students, yeah, exactly. You know? Some people will really need to go through all the steps. Some people might be able to skip some. Depends on a lot of different things, you know.
Yeah. Here, you handle this question. I'll be right back. How do you get really high notes out on the flute?
Okay, well, it's all about airspeed for high notes, I think. So you have to blow air faster. So you go, that's slow. If you blow slow air, it's going to be warm. So you put your hand near your mouth and go, it's cold, it's warm. Then you blow fast air, it's going to be cold. So you can also practice just changing the airspeed. And you will also see that the angle might change a little bit. You might have to move your lower lip a tiny bit forward, or your lower jaw a tiny bit forward in the higher register, but it's a very, very small adjustment. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't think about that too much. I really think it's got a lot to do about airspeed and support, and also putting the air in the hole. The hole is under you. So don't send the air above your head. Because sometimes we visualize high register above us, and then we go, and we send the air high, but the flute is under us. So under that's us. A big problem, because then we don't send the air in the right direction for it to whistle.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
Yeah. Hopefully that helps. That was an Apple mix that said that. Starco Gaming wants to know, how do you hit high notes while you have braces in? Because they are having that problem. I never had braces, so I don't know how to...
I had braces.
You had braces when you were playing flute.
I cried.
Okay. That doesn't help the question.
I didn't cry the whole time. I got used to it at one point. But it's difficult, and it's also... For me, it was painful. Because when you put the flute... And
it's against the braces are there, yeah.
And then you hurt you the inside of your mouth. It's
they should invent something that kind of goes.
They
around.
Had something. They told me to put like a wax.
Okay.
Was not working.
No.
Was just a lot of trouble to put. Imagine every. Did I want to do that before Ben? Sorry, everyone. Open and put all the wax in there, and then it didn't work because there was still metal pressing on my.
Sure.
And there's like it wasn't working. So there was a little bit of pain, and also the angle is not the same anymore. So it's a little bit difficult. For me, I struggled when I had braces. When they removed it, it became easier again, you know. I still got my sound back after a while, but it was more difficult. And then when they removed it, it got way easier. But I don't know what to say. It's tough. It's a tough period. Like, for me, it was 2 years, I think. Seemed like forever. But now that I look, like, I don't even remember. But changes the angle. Because the braces push the lower lip. Everything is pushed forward. It's it's difficult. Then when they remove it, you have to be careful not to bring your lips forward anymore, too. You know? But maybe everything has... I don't know.
No.
It's difficult.
Okay. No.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
Maybe you try to keep things not too forward.
Right. Yeah, because that can...
Oh, so you don't get so you don't get bad habits. Like, don't think about bringing your lips forward and
that
kissing.
Thing,
that's,
a
bad
habit
to take, you know? And then you'll have difficulties getting
to fix
rid
it
of
back,
the... Maybe don't push the flute too much towards yourself so you don't hurt yourself.
That too, yeah. Because you hold the flute. Remember, you have different places, three places usually where you're holding the flute. Lip... index finger here, this thing, and then your thumb. You want to kind of evenly distribute everything everywhere. That
but
way
usually
it's just pressing
in one
place. I kind
of push there, but with that, you can't, you'll hurt yourself.
Yeah,
so
you'll
you
hurt
have
yourself.
To be a bit more soft and also patient with yourself and know it's just a little part of
part
your
life.
Life.
Yeah, a little part of your
it's
life.
Gonna
it's not
end,
gonna end,
you know? When you're in it, you feel like...
It's never going to be good ever again, but it will be.
Yeah, it's just a little part.
Yeah. Mandy Hiat wants to know, my teacher and I discovered that I need a more resistant flute. What do you suggest for flutes when I get to purchase my next one, and how to create more resistance now?
I guess the person is talking about different metal that has more resistance.
Yeah, and different type of head joint cuts that can, you know, depending how tall the riser is, depend how wide it is, depend... all about like all the different things in that point, because the more air you can put on the metal is more resistance. It's just physics. If there's more metal, there's more chances of resistance happening. If there's less, there's less chances of having resistance. So that can be something. In terms of right now, really trying to blow as much inside on the flute can really help with resistance.
But we don't know what type of flute
exactly,
she has.
Exactly,
so we don't know what's an improvement from that.
Exactly.
And
test
like,
between
is it a
both flutes.
Beginner flute, then an intermediate flute would be an improvement.
Exactly.
Is it an intermediate flute, then maybe?
Right.
You know, it's not easy to answer.
Yeah. But those would be the first things I would look at.
Yeah, if you have an alloy, maybe a silver flute might have more resistance. Or
I don't think it's really about the metal. It's really about how much metal there is inside. Because some have... wider risers, taller risers.
Some flutes are 0.16, some flutes are 0.18, 0.14.
Oh, yeah, tubings and stuff.
Like, tubing can also affect, I guess.
Because resistance is exactly where you hit the air. When it releases,
it's
there's no more
the
resistance
embouchure.
There.
It's more about the head
embouchure
joint.
And the head joint plate, the hole in there. Because once it leaves that point of resistance, it just starts exiting.
So does it mean that if this person loves her or his flute, they could just change the head joint and achieve the same result of more resistance and keep the rest of the body of the flute?
Yep. In a way, yes.
That would be an economical
way. Yeah, economical way of getting a new flute, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I did with my flute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
At one point.
It can totally be an option.
I kept the... Mm-hmm. I was very happy with the mechanism, but I needed something more for the colors. Mm-hmm. And
there you go.
Yeah, I just changed the head joint.
It really just has to do a lot to do with that cut inside that part, that little part there. This goes to the other question, which is similar. It's like, I'm going to buy a new flute with open hole and offset G. Do you know some flutes that I can use in high school? The Trevor James flute that we tried.
A lot of Yamaha.
And lots of Yamahas. Powell Sonari flutes are really nice flutes.
Are offered in both inline and offline, so...
But he wants offline.
I know, but I mean, most flutes are offered in both.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, of course. And with open hole. Yeah. And some with closed hole, but not many professional models have closed holes. But
like, even like Yamaha, if you start at 300 something...
300 like, series, yeah. The 300 series, yeah.
And above are all open holes, I think. Or is it 400?
You can have 200, 300, 400.
200, is it open holes?
You can have open holes, yeah.
Okay, so really it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sky's the limit.
You have a lot of choice.
Yeah. But yeah, you can check our flute review videos. We have a bunch of flute review videos. Mm-hmm. Most of them are for, I would say, about 80% of the videos from the Flute Center in New York are... for high schoolers and people who want to have a flute for the rest of their lives but are not going to go to college. You know, a lot of different types of flutes. We've tried a lot. Then we have some very expensive ones.
And also, people can go on, is it flutesforsale.com?
Yeah.
It's the, so it's with the Flute Center of New York, and they're all described there, the flutes.
All the description, and you can, I think it might even go by level as well, but I'm not sure. I can't remember, but... You can also contact them. They're more than welcome to give you a lot of different ideas and tips. And then make sure you let them know that we brought you there. Tell them that you have the code TFC and it even helps us out. And you can try out, I think, up to 4 flutes. Actually, I recalled that it's actually up to 4 flutes.
Oh, yeah, they now changed it.
I don't think it was changed because I think they're a little bit more liberal about that. And you can try up to 3 or 4 flutes for 10 days. And then
you have a longer trial period. And you have 10 days, yeah. And I think it's free shipping.
Yeah, free shipping, I think, worldwide, yeah. I think.
So it's you get some perks and we get help. Like, it helps us. So
yeah, we get a commission from that, so it's really helpful. Sigurd Mizar has a question. On what you would recommend us when we first start on ear training, should we take a class or an app, and how much time effort will it take before we start recognizing pitch and intervals? Depends on the person, but yes, I don't know. I would
and
say
different people learn in different ways. You know, I'm more of a systematic learner, but if you look at my son, he's more of a fun learner, so he just listens to music and replays it. So in a way, he's doing what, you know, when you do a course of ear training, the point is to be able to listen to music and replay it. So he's going directly to that, you know. So there's a lot of different ways you can also do that. Listen to some songs and be like, oh, what's that? And
yeah, but I think also there's
like
a lot
the
of courses
systematic learning.
Most people want systematic because they are coming from, like, he's following up by saying he has zero ear training and I can't really tell if I'm too sharp or flat without a tuner. So get a tuner, that way you can see whether you're sharper and flat. That'd be my first thing.
Well, if he says without a tuner, it means he probably has a tuner.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so you don't know the reference things. So So I would, there's Coursera courses about that.
I think on Coursera, there's a couple of very interesting courses. Coursera is a platform where universities put free courses online.
There's a lot of MOOCs. That's a term that a lot of people are using.
You can pay for them, but there's also a way to just be an auditor and not pay, but you can't do all the exams.
Right.
Like, they won't, you can do them, but they won't correct them for you.
Yeah.
So if you want to had the right answers, you need to pay something, and you have a lot of theory, music theory, and usually in music theory they also put a little bit of ear training.
Yeah, there's also some that are just for skill training as well, for skills. They call it like skills or harmonic training or
but I've always
like that.
Thought there's a little difference between let's say ear training, solfège, you know, being able to recognize chords or intervals or being able to write a melody when you hear it, and being able to play in tune, because it's like macro and micro type of thing. Because intervals are macro, it's the big thing, but playing in tune, it's so tiny, you know? It's a different training for me. I feel it's a bit different. And if your goal is to play in tune, I'm sure knowing where you are in a scale, knowing that you're in G major might help you, but yeah. I guess learning anything about music will help you, because you get to understand the language better, and then you can, you know, where you are, which tonality you're playing, which key you're playing in, where you are exactly, you know, in that language, in that grammar. But yeah, I think those courses are good. There's also some apps for recognizing chords fast, for different things. Yeah.
Have we ever met James Galway? Yes, I've met James Galway a couple times.
I haven't.
Oh, you haven't? Well, you will in a couple years, soon.
Yeah, hopefully. One day.
Yeah. Let's see. There's some more stuff here. There's a lot of stuff.
But it's fun to have fun, too, and be like, oh, let's play by ear a little bit.
Yeah, it's also good practice. Yeah, that's also good to play by ear as well.
But, you know, there's always a little bit of theory, because let's say you can play a melody, and let's say you can play a very simple thing, like... Do you know that?
Yeah.
Okay, then you can play it in all keys. And then. You know, that type of exercise of playing a very well-known melody and being able to play it in each key. So you really understand the different keys, how they... You know, I think it's a good thing to be able to do that. Because then you can recognize things faster. You know where you are. I don't know. I think it's a fun way to develop your ear and develop your knowledge of tonality.
Right.
Like the tonal system. Because it's a system. It's a grammar, you know?
Yeah.
5-1 and all exactly. Those things. A cycle of fifths. And we should... make videos about those things.
Yeah, we should.
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
I have a piano student who's all into understanding those things right now and playing a little bit of jazz, and he's like, wow, it's so fascinating. You can, you know, it's a full language with rules and with, yeah, notes that want to go to another note, had attractions, and you have some tensions, and then you have some release, and yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully that answers a little bit of that. What Lisa wants to know, what's the highest flute that can be played on a flute?
F.
F and G. I've heard somebody play Ultra G, like G7 or whatever, G6. F exists. I can play up to E, but it doesn't, not to scale, though, because it's like...
Yeah,
it's a weird fingering for certain flutes.
I played D-sharp in one piece once.
D-sharp is cool. Okay, D-sharp, cool.
Kagel,
D-sharp's
a good... Kagel.
It's a piece by Kagel, okay.
A fantasy stück, I think it's called. He's a modern composer. It's
right.
Beautiful what he wrote. But it's the only
time you play
to play that in a piece.
Yeah, usually flutists don't need to play anything above
D.
Usually. Even D is rare. C a lot.
Like when I play Chaminade, I like to put the high D at the end because it sounds a bit more show off, you know, and it's a show off piece.
Yeah,
exactly. So I play the high D, but it's not even written. It's just a little.
Yeah, extra. Exactly. Victor wants to know. Victor Coco wants to know, when you listen to your recordings for yourself playing the flute. Oh. When you listen to your recordings for yourself playing the flute, is that always helpful?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's really helpful. It can tell you, it's like having a person there listening in on you, and then you re-listen on yourself. And
it's like giving yourself a lesson.
Yeah, it's like giving yourself a lesson, and it helps you with your ears, it to develop like what you're actually doing. It's a lot of different micro, a lot of layers in that.
And I think you have to do it really as giving a lesson with an outside, like another person being your student. You would tell that person what's good and what's mm-hmm. what has to be improved, and you would be polite. And you should treat yourself with the same politeness. I think sometimes we're too harsh on ourselves. Right. We tend to be a bit tough. You also have to use a recording to see what's good. And yeah, treat yourself as well as, you know, there's this thing, treat others as you would want them to treat you, but also treat yourself mm-hmm. as you would treat others right. in a way, because sometimes we're nicer with others than we are with ourselves. And when I listen to myself, I try to see, okay, this has to be improved, but that other mm-hmm, thing mm-hmm. is good, though, so I can keep that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's both ways, but both are helpful. Because mm-hmm. one is making you more certain, and one is making you progress in another way.
Oh, the lady about that flute, I think, remember a couple of questions ago?
Yeah.
About getting a new flute? She's playing on a Selmer Intermediate flute.
Okay.
So, yeah, like next level, with a resistance question, I think.
Yeah.
So Selmer Intermediate, you know. Yeah, Selmer Intermediate, like Yamaha 222-333.
Maybe you change the whole thing.
Maybe change the whole thing, because maybe the head joint's not built well, but it depends how old it is.
But I wouldn't maybe not change just the head joint. No. For that change level the whole of flute, thing. I would change the whole
and that'll
thing.
Be your change for life, probably, the next yeah. flute you have. Yeah, maybe.
I think.
So hopefully that helps out a little bit more, Mandy. Sigurd wants to know, I also want to ask about head joint alignment. My teacher wants me to turn out more. I feel that I either bend my head forward to compensate or turn the body in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a passionate question. Mm-hmm. It's very fascinating. I remember when I was studying in the summer with Robert Langevin.
Mm-hmm.
He plays out a lot.
Like plays really rolled out.
Oh, he rolls his embouchure out.
And his key, doesn't he play a little bit on like keyboard keys a little bit front facing?
But he, yeah. you know, because he says, and he's right to say,
I think Alexa does that too. They when front you, like that.
No, it's different. He different? Okay. really puts his head joint, he rolls it out mm-hmm. before he plays.
Wow.
It's a completely
That's
different.
Interesting.
And he says when you play uncovered like that, the hole, you project more. But then you have, you're right. Even if you put it very out, but then you put your flute back in, then you have the same angle with your mouth.
Right.
And Alexa still has this other idea.
I mean, I'm just talking about actually her body of the flute is turned out. I'm not saying...
Well, instead of seeing things just in one direction, I think it's very interesting that she sees it in two-dimensional. Well, she starts by
she has a lot of extensions on her flute and stuff.
Yeah, but it's not the point. That's not why she does it like that. She says what are they called? I'm very tired.
The rods are
very heavy, so they make the flute
go back,
you know, move, uh-huh. it's not balanced.
No, it's a very unbalanced, back, yeah, it's always, know? Never, it's an unbalanced
So what she
machine.
Does is that she makes it balanced, but then the rods are on the top of the flute, and then she puts her hands according to that, so the flute is more sturdy, and then she aligns her head joint accordingly to how her flute is comfortable mm-hmm. with her hands.
Right.
So I think what we have to remember is try to find a way to play with your hands that's comfortable, and then find the spot where it's also well, you don't want to cover the hole with your flute because it's totally true that if you cover it, you're not going to project. You need it to be open. But maybe if you play with your flute a bit forward, then you'll have to bring your head joint inwards. But if you play with your flute a bit inwards, you might have to put your flute a bit forward. I think for projection purposes, it's probably better to have the flute outwards than the head joint a little bit forward. because those keys, you know, there's still sound coming out of the keys. I don't know. But most of the sound comes
out of the head joint.
But it's, you know, maybe you try to find something comfortable with your hands and then you adjust, but you have to make sure the hole is uncovered. You're not covering it because you want an open sound that will project. But the person is totally right, I think, in his comments saying, well, yeah, I can put it out, but then if I bring my flute in, I get the same result, except right. I'm not comfortable and my flute is just rolling everywhere. So I would advise to just be comfortable. I think the person is right. And I don't know if it's a woman or a man, but in her or his comment.
Sigurd, he's a patron on our, he's a patron on our Patreon.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a logical thing. It's a logical thing. I agree with it with you.
Yeah.
You should just be comfortable and then adjust to your hand comfort.
Yeah. So we'll answer two or three more questions. If you guys have any questions, let us know in the comments. Before we answer the next question, just to let you guys know, be sure to check us out on our Patreon, where you can help us out tremendously by donating as little as $1 a month. So that's about $12 a year. And that actually helps us get to do more videos, devote more time to this, because we only have a set amount of time that we are devoted to this per week. And by helping us out to help us produce things, you can donate as little as $1 a month. And you can check out theflutechannel.com. Or no, you can check out at patreon.com/theflutechannel. And you can go there and donate to whatever you wish. Also, you can also check out, like I said, we were just talking about sheetmusicplus.com, where you can save up to 15% on your sheet music purchases by using the code TFC15 at checkout. That also, in return, helps us a lot.
15% they get 15%.
They get 15% off, and we get a commission from that, which is great. So you can check out all of that in the description. And finally, if you're looking to buy a new flute, you can check out flutesforsale.com and use our code TFC at checkout. And you can try up to 3 to 4 flutes, I think, or piccolos, and for up to 10 days. And you can, once you pick one of those, you get that, and we get a little commission off of it, and it's free shipping as well. So be sure to check out flutesforsale.com, and then just use our code TFC. And just go back on our Sheet Music Plus, be sure to use that code TFC15, if I didn't say that, because we have two different codes for two different things. But all that is in the description box below the video.
And also, if people are looking for flute festival in the summer.
Yeah, that's one thing we should definitely talk about as well.
Yeah, because we have the Montreal Flute Festival.
Yeah.
Where I teach the morning classes, and Alexa still teaches the evening, like afternoon classes, and there's concerts and all types of things, and it's very open and nice, and everyone's happy. And
if you're not familiar with, if you're new to the flute and you're not really familiar with what goes on in the flute world, there are lots of ways to learn during the summer, and one of them is coming to our festival, which is this.
But our festival group is not dedicated to beginners.
It's dedicated to absolutely everybody who wants to learn the flute. Yeah. It's a very open forum.
We've had people from people playing for fun.
Yep.
And also people playing professionally.
That's
people
right.
with bachelor's degrees in music and flute performance. Or me, like master's degree students. And
it's a very non-intimidating environment.
It's everyone can learn from everyone. Yep. There's no,
It's 3 days
no
long.
Judgment, no,
exactly.
Open and it's fun.
Yeah.
And
it's it's 3 days long of just learning the flute all day. And then we hang out at the end of the day and we have a concert at the end of the 3 days.
Yeah.
And it's very affordable. It's very affordable comparing to all the other festivals that are around.
It's MontrealFluteFestival.com.
Yeah, MontrealFluteFestival.com, where you can sign up. It's $250 for the 3 days, and Canadian.
and you guys can take care of your own accommodation.
Yeah, they can take care of your accommodations, but you can definitely ask us for some recommendations, and we can definitely point you into the right direction. You're not obliged to perform. You can also just, a lot of people that have come, they've also just sat there and observed and asked questions.
Sometimes
and that's totally
fine.
Some people change their mind, which is allowed.
Last year, a lot of people said they were not going to play, and then they said, oh, okay, this year I'll play for you yeah. in the morning, but I won't play for Alexa in the afternoon, yeah. but next year I'll play for Alexa in the afternoon, you know?
Right, so some yeah. yeah.
thought, oh, you're not intimidating, I'm going to exactly. play for you, you know? Yeah. So bring your exactly. flute anyways.
Bring your flute anyways.
Because you might change your mind, and we're open, yeah. so.
And you're allowed to take notes, record
especially
things.
In the morning, morning yeah. class, like it's yeah. it's free.
Yeah.
Like it's free in the sense it's...
Oh, it's an open forum. It's a complete open forum for everyone to
yeah,
talk to.
Yeah, people say, okay, and, I want to work yeah. on my... Doesn't
tone.
Even have to be a
I
want to
work
piece,
on a scale. Yeah, I want to work
know?
On a scale.
Yeah,
whatever.
I want to work on
you know? So, yeah.
a difficulty that I have.
Yeah.
Playing soft in the high register or playing, doing a
yeah.
decrescendo with that note or whatever,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And then we'll work on that. If
yeah.
you want to play a piece, it can also be a piece. Like, yeah.
Yeah, usually these types of festivals are great ways to kind of fuel you up for the whole year. And also
because you
work
so
on things
much
you learn so much yeah
questions.
Exactly you learn so much in that period of time and for the money I remember festivals in the past that I went to that just I felt like that so that's
yeah.
why I wanted this to exist and yeah so definitely go and check that out if you
sometimes
guys have any questions about it let us know
as much in the summer as I did in the full
oh,
year
oh I definitely
year.
Learned way more during those types of festivals
yeah.
a lot, in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
So yeah, check that out, montrealflutefestival.com. That's August 15th, 16th, and 17th. That's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
In Montreal.
In Montreal. So back to our other question. Lisa wants to know, I always wondered why play a song in one key versus another?
Hmm. Well, composers choose keys. Well, some people say that different keys have different emotions attached to them or different colors or so I guess composers pick keys in that regard. Maybe sometimes it's for the how it makes it easier for the instrument. Some instruments sound better in some keys than in others. Some keys are more difficult to play and tune in, I guess. What would you say to that?
Yeah, about
even
that.
Baroque composers said every, I think they, yeah, every
I knew a lot of
key
people,
had a different temperament, like meaning
totally.
Different emotion attached
yeah.
to it. You know?
I knew a lot of people who were able to play, I know a lot of like jazz people who could play most pieces, and even some that were classical jazz trained, and they learned some pieces in most keys, you know, so,
jazz
but they're all different things.
Usually they have to learn, let's say, a solo and then be able to play in all 12 keys.
Yeah. The solo in all 12
yeah,
keys.
But the question is not that. The question is why would you choose one key over another?
That's a composition question. I'm not a composer, but like...
But I think
I couldn't
it's a
imagine,
bit...
like you were saying, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't really say anything. You kind of nailed it on the ball
and
by
it's
saying
true,
that.
Because I remember playing a piece with a harpist, and we were playing it. I was saying, it never sounds quite right. And I don't have perfect pitch, so I said, it's weird. Like, it never sounds as brilliant, like as shiny as when I listened to it. And then we listened to it and I said, oh, it's a fifth higher than what we just played. You know, because now I just heard the other, I have a relative pitch. So I was like, oh, they mm-hmm. played a fifth higher than the arrangement that we have. Of course, it
mm-hmm.
doesn't sound the same. I couldn't put my finger on it, but it was the key. The key was changing the...
Mm-hmm.
But then... Let's say you're accompanying a singer.
Right.
I have a choir, a kid choir.
Mm-hmm.
I accompany them. I pick keys according to their register.
Right.
What notes they can sing. And then I pick a key that, you know, I try different things. I'm like, okay, this one's a bit too high. Okay, this is a bit too low. Like, it depends on many different things.
Mm-hmm.
That decision.
So hopefully that brings in some insight. We'll answer about two more questions, I think. We've answered a lot of questions today. A lot of great questions today. Thanks, everyone. There was a question here. I saw it. Sigurd, he's like, we should stream one of the classes for the festival. We should do a stream, live stream, like the
That's
morning
a good
class
idea.
Once.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could also offer the whole festival live streamed if we had good internet there. For a smaller price. I don't know if it's that good, to be honest. The internet there, you have to kind of get special permission and whether or not it's good or not. That's it's as much effort as getting all the things I've already done just to get the internet, I'd have to do that equal amount of effort to do that, which is a lot. But
that's weird. It's worth, yeah. It's in the middle of this city.
I know. And there's Ethernet ports everywhere in all their rooms. It's just weird. Yeah, that's... So, yeah. They don't want it. And plus, any of the internet that they give there, no offense to them, but I mean, like, the internet that they do give is quite slow, and everyone uses it, the Wi-Fi code, so it's like...
But we're in the summer. There might be less
people. There might be less people, yeah. So it's something we will try to do. But if you can make it out to Montreal Flu Festival, please do.
It's always better in person.
Yeah, it's always better in person. Then you get to hang out with us, and it's really a lot of fun. We get people from Germany, from the United States, from here in Canada, from all over the world. It's really awesome.
It was great. Like, we did 2 years.
Yeah, this third year. And then next year will be 4 days. Yeah. And then our fifth year will be 5 days. And that's how... And then we're going to keep it at five days forever after that. Yeah, exactly.
We'll see.
So
maybe people will love it so much we'll do 2 weeks one day. Who knows?
Five is enough for me. Five is enough for me.
We'll go in another city break. And do another
yeah.
week.
Yeah. what brand, Emma Baker wants to know, what brand would you guys recommend moving on from a student model? Like we mentioned previously in the show, there's a, you know, Yamaha 333-444.
Powell-Sonare.
I
like them.
Yeah, Palsonari, there's Trevor James. We have a whole series of a couple videos, flute review videos that are pretty concise, but those are good ones. You know, you don't want to spend, if you're just learning and you're doing it for fun, you don't want to spend too much money, you know, but then you want to pay enough. You want to have just enough so you want it to last forever. And I mean last forever, like the pads, they're not going to last forever. You're going to have to repair it. You're going to have to get those pads replaced after a couple of years each time.
You want to have something that you're not going to fight with.
Yep.
Because I have a student whose flute was really not good enough, you know. And it was okay in the beginning, but then after a while, she was not improving anymore. She was getting depressed about that. She was like, I'm not improving. And I was like, I was looking at her saying, everything I'm telling you, you're doing it. So it must be your flute because I look at you.
Right.
It's all right, you know. She changed her flute. Now her everything is better. Mm-hmm. And her motivation because she gets results, you know.
She gets results, yeah.
So it's...
Mm-hmm.
It's sad when we don't have the money for it, but it's sometimes we do need a better instrument.
Mm.
But there's good instruments for a more reasonable price.
Exactly.
You don't have to pay $10,000.
No. $10,000 or $20,000 or $50,000.
No,
but
you can
some
find
people do.
Good.
But that's you know, don't
really,
depend.
if the flute is the mechanism is good and it's not leaking anywhere.
Flutes now, even even every flute right now made by most major makers are as good as the flutes that were made 100 years ago, you know? Like,
cause her
quality
flute
is so
leaking.
High.
There was a lot of problems
with
that, you know?
But that's leaking pads. Leaking pads can be fixed.
No, but
you know?
There was a lot of problems with their mechanism.
Oh, yeah, mechanism. Like, oh, yeah, sure.
It was so expensive to repair.
Right.
She bought a new flute,
sure.
You know? Sometimes it happens. Yeah.
So we'll answer two more questions. Nathan Hun, how can you play high notes in tune? They tend to be very sharp. Yeah, high notes tend to be very sharp because in the harmonic series they're pushing so high.
I tried to open the
back
far, of the
I mean,
mouth
far in the ceiling,
and also send the air.
Yeah, down into the flute.
Into the flute.
Yeah.
So I open really and I put it in.
And fast air, because fast air really does. Make
But fast air, if you put it in the same spot, it's going to be even sharper. That's
I know.
Because of fast air that it's too sharp.
That's right.
So you have to compensate the fast air by bringing it a bit lower. And also...
But you need also more air inside there for it to project as well, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but we're talking about...
The sharpness.
Sharpness.
Right.
So, yeah. And also thinking something about having a egg in your mouth or something that, you know, you open. Mm-hmm. And then kind of... helps with that, but it's if you change the angle
and
of
support.
The air
and
you
support
change
too.
The angle of the air
yeah.
it's gonna get lower
yeah.
usually if you don't support enough it goes low
yeah I know it goes flat
so it's not support
so,
that much because you always need to support. I would really say it's the angle for me.
So yeah, hopefully that helps. We can try that out. Faye Qureshi, do you guys have tips for breathing / learning to read music from a non-musical background?
Reading or breathing?
For breathing / learning.
To read.
Yeah, to read music from a non-musical background.
Well, most of my students have a non, like I have, I had a lot of students, both in flute and piano, that had no musical background. No musical background,
right? What did you notice? What are some tips?
What I try to do sometimes is to teach things separately.
Compartmentalizing them?
Yeah, yeah, like a little bit. So that the person doesn't have to focus on everything at once and feel overwhelmed. So right. Sometimes I'll take a sheet with only music notes and just read. Read one line. Every week I ask them to read a line or name the notes before they play and then they play it on the flute. Stuff like that. I try to compartmentalize.
Yeah, compartmentalize, yeah.
If I feel that the person is overwhelmed, I'll do that.
Right.
And usually it works. Like, I will teach reading rhythms and then reading notes in separate things, you know? Mm. And then eventually I put them together. But it's way easier. And you have a feeling of accomplishment and you feel, you know, motivation. There's been a lot of studies about motivation, and in order to feel motivated, they say people have to feel free to make choices, and also they have to feel competent. If you feel completely incompetent, you'll lose motivation. So I try to make, you know, give goals that will make people feel competent so they still want to work. If they feel completely overwhelmed, they'll be like, I'm just no good, when it's not that you're no good, it's just, it's difficult because you're learning something new. Learning is a little bit of a shock, you know, cognitively it's a shock, because you have this view of the world, that's, and then you're being confronted with, no, that's not how it works, this is how it works, and right. What's going on here? It's a shock. So you have to be you know, patient and be able to learn one thing at a time and then put them together, and it's pieces of a puzzle, and you don't have to understand the whole thing all at once.
Yeah.
But I try to
compartmentalize, yeah.
First.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, yeah, we'll just sing the notes with the rhythm. Like, if we play the flute, of course, I'll put the notes and the rhythm together.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I do exercises of just rhythm, just reading notes, then we do both.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it for this. Oh, somebody, Faye Quish, she just gave us $5. Thanks, Faye.
Thank you.
You rock.
Thank
That's you our so first much. Ever first ever money given to us in the super chat. That's a super chat thingy.
That's
if
so
you're
nice.
Listening to the podcast, it's a YouTube channel thingy. Thanks so much. I guess because we answered your question. So yeah, like I said, thank you for doing that right at the end of the thing. That's awesome. What are we doing? You're not practicing for next week or practicing for next year. Yeah, Luke seemingly just said that as a little quote. It's a pleasure to compliment your emotion.
That's also how politicians should manage.
That's, that's it.
Not for next election, but for next generation.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah, big thanks to Koresh, Faye. Thank you so much. But yeah, that's going to be the end of the show today. We do this every 2 weeks. And then next week, we're going to do a just practicing again. Be sure to like this video if you guys haven't liked it yet. If you're just following along and you haven't subscribed yet, be sure to subscribe. Later on, after this video is done, please come back and let us know in the comments what do you guys want us to do for our next videos that we want to put out. We want to put out some more videos soon. One way you can also help us as well is going to our Patreon at patreon.com/theflutechannel, where for as little as $1 a month, that's $12 a year, you can drastically help us make more videos, devote more time to this channel, which I think we've just today reached 25,000 subscribers and almost 3 million views. We've been doing this for 2-3 years off and on, and we really want to do this as a living one day. And because of you guys, this has definitely helped, and your continued effort would be great. So you guys can definitely do that at the Flute Channel or patreon.com/theflutechannel. And also you can check out in our description for all of our deals that we have with cheapmusicplus.com. And with the flutesforsale.com, brought to you by the Flute Center of New York. So yeah, hopefully this was as good as it was for us, you know, for you, for us, you know.
Someone asked what's the next just practicing piece.
We don't know yet. Oh yeah, it's gonna be Inesco.
Inesco's
next one.
People's
yeah,
people's choice.
Yeah, exactly, that's the people's choice. You can definitely check out on our YouTube page, go to our community tab. You can check that on your phone. It automatically updates if you're subscribed to us, any of the posts we make, any of the polls that we do, or any updates about live streams or new videos or general news. That's where we are usually in between videos. So yeah, it will be Inesco. We will make a little post about that on the community tab as well. So yeah, thanks everybody. I'm Nick.
And I'm Emily.
See you guys. Thanks so much again.
Thank you for watching.
Thank you for watching.